Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, as we are coming almost to the end of the first epistle of John, we are coming again to a very familiar subject, which John seems to return to from time to time throughout this epistle. It has to do with the relationship between the Christian and sin. He starts dealing with that in chapter 1, and he continues making references to it throughout the book, and we find it now at the close of this epistle, when he says in verse 18 of chapter 5, "We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." It is a very interesting, very intriguing, very challenging statement, and it's one that we need to examine as accurately as we possibly can. And to that end, we are diving into it on this Friday, March 8. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for supporting us, because without your financial gifts, we could not continue this Bible teaching ministry on the radio. Well, there's a puzzling truth stated here, and we touched on it yesterday, and we'll pick it up at that point again today. And that is the statement about Christians not sinning. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. And that statement, or very similar statements, are sprinkled throughout this epistle. So it's not like we're looking at something and John has, has brought up something and worded it in such a way that maybe we're misunderstanding what he's saying. But he is repeating something that he has said several times. And so there's no question about the statement, but yes, there is a legitimate question about exactly what is meant by this statement. But again, the statement is, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. Whoever is born of God. In other words, any and every born-again believer. Anyone and everyone who has been truly born again. Whoever is born of God does not sin. Now you can see with statements like this why the doctrine of sinless perfection has appeared and has been supported throughout history. There are Christians who take the position that believers do not sin. Although, I must say, I've never really read behind anyone who says that all believers do not sin. But what the doctrine, and I would say the erroneous doctrine of sinless perfection, teaches is it is possible for believers to get to a state where they do not sin. And verses like this are used to support it, but immediately we have a problem, because this verse does not say that certain people who are born of God do not sin. Especially spiritually minded people who are born of God do not sin. Those who reach a higher level of Christian maturity and a higher measure of God's grace do not sin. But the statement is, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. That includes everybody. And I don't know of anybody who teaches that all born-again believers are sinless. If you know of anybody who teaches that, please contact me and fill me in. I'd like to have my education enlarged at this particular juncture, but I haven't met anybody in that category. And that in itself should cause us to scratch our head and to dig a little bit deeper. And I remind you, and I think I mentioned this yesterday, that this statement is almost identical to the one in chapter 3, verse 9, which says, whoever has been born of God, there it is again, whoever has been born of God does not sin. But it goes on to say, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Now, my wrestling with that text led me to this conclusion. The word sin in that statement, in chapter 3, verse 9, is the Greek word that means lawlessness. And it has the idea of one who rejects divine authority. The one who insists upon his own right to define sin. In other words, not to bow to the authority of God, not to accept God's definition of sin, but he reserves for himself the right to define sin and to be the authority in his own life to decide what is right and what is wrong and what will be considered sin. And in that mindset, he continues to sin. He maintains an unbroken pattern of sin, but many times he denies that because he doesn't accept God's definition of sin. That's lawlessness. And this tells us that whoever is born of God does not exist in a category of lawlessness. Whoever's been born of God accepts the authority of God in his life. He accepts the right of God to command him. He accepts the right of God to judge him. He accepts the right of God to rule him. And he lives under that authority. He acknowledges the right of God. And I could make it a little more specific and say he acknowledges the right of Jesus Christ to rule him. Now, this really gets into this whole question of the lordship of Christ and what in some decades ago became a huge debate in America, and I suppose even around the world, that was entitled the Lordship Controversy. And there are Christians, there were then and still are today, who teach that it is possible for a person to receive Jesus as Savior while not receiving him as Lord. And the lordship part, they conclude, they insist, is a second step. That when you accept Jesus as your Savior, you are saved. You are a born-again believer. Now, you ought to submit to his authority, to his lordship, to his rule. And it'll be better for you in every way if you do. It'll certainly enhance your life. It'll enhance your happiness. And it will certainly enhance your rewards. You'll go to heaven with great rewards because you've lived your life under the lordship of Jesus Christ, which is the way everybody ought to live. But even if you don't do that, but you've received him as Savior, you'll still go to heaven when you die, but you won't have many rewards when you get there. Now, that's the false teaching that some people have defended and continue to defend. It's been a little while now, but it hasn't been more than 2 or 3 years ago, I suppose, when I examined a couple of websites that are constructed for the very purpose of defending that position. So that position is not dead. I don't think it is as well represented as it was maybe 30 years or more ago. At least that seems to be my impression. I don't have any objective study to bear that out, but there are still those who are contending for that very position. However, the Bible teaches the opposite, and that is what this text is saying. And there are many other texts that say the same thing in a different way, but here it puts it in this particular way, namely, whoever is born of God does not sin, that is, does not reject divine authority, does not reject God's right to define sin, does not reject God's right to command us and to tell us what is sin and what is not sin, and to command us to live under his authority. So whoever is born of God does not live under a basic pattern of unrighteousness and certainly does not defend his right to live as he pleases, to sin continually with an unbroken pattern of sin without conviction, without remorse, without repentance. That just doesn't happen. Whoever is born of God does not fit into that category. And I think that is exactly what is said in our text before us in John 5:18. I think it's a reiteration of what John has previously taught. And remember, that is his pattern. John is the writer who touches on a subject, says something about it, goes on to another subject, comes back to a previous subject, says a little bit more about it, and continues in that fashion. And this is a subject that he has introduced before, and so to understand what he means by this statement in chapter 5 at the conclusion of his epistle, we have to go back and examine previous statements that he made along the same lines to see what he said previously and put all of that information together. And with that in mind, we realize that verse 18 of chapter 5 is basically a reiteration of chapter 3 and verse 9. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. That is, he does not sin with impunity. He does not sin with arrogance. He does not sin in respect of rejecting the authority of Christ in his life. He does not sin happily. He does not intend to sin. He doesn't make provision for sin. But this is not saying that he never sins. It sounds like it on the surface, but as I say, a careful comparison with what has been said before, I think, makes this clear. Because to say that he has not, that a Christian does not sin, is a blatant contradiction of what John said in chapter 1, verse 8. If we say, we who are Christians say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So John is not contradicting himself. He's not saying that any Christian is free from sin because he introduced the book in chapter 1 by telling us that all Christians do sin. And if anyone claims not to, he's a liar. We all sin, and that's why, sandwiched between the two verses I read, we have that wonderful promise that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this statement that appears to be a contradiction to the ones I read in chapter 1 must be understood in the light of lawlessness. Whoever is born of God is not lawless. He does not reject authority. He does not reject the lordship of Christ in his life. Though because of the remnants of the Adamic nature, he will stumble and sin. And frankly, far more often than he wants to. But it bothers him. And he repents of it. And he confesses it. And he asks God to help him not to repeat it. And that's the way he lives. And what he's telling us is that there's a clear distinction in attitudes and lifestyles between the saved and the lost. Christianity is not a sinning religion, and grace does not encourage or condone sinning. And true believers are rendered uncomfortable with sin because no one who is born of God is lawless in his attitude. He endeavors to live under the authority of, that is, under the law of God. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.